Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Monday, December 18th, 2017. The Revitalization Forum opens in Addis Ababa with the head of the government delegation warning against renegotiating.
The forum is to energize, reactivate, and revitalize rather than renegotiate the agreement on the resolution of the conflict in the Republic of South Sudan.
And two men are savagely killed near the Uganda-South Sudan border.
When these guys were beheading these people, so our security people, I think they took off. So they, in that process, two people managed to survive, but two were beheaded.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Cabinet Affairs Minister Martin Elias Lamoro, who is leading the government's delegation, told observers during his opening remarks in Addis Ababa that his party will engage constructively during the talks, but warned the government is not in Ethiopia to renegotiate the peace agreement.
The forum is to energize, reactivate, and revitalize rather than renegotiate the agreement on the resolution of the conflict in the Republic of South Sudan. And two, that the forum should review the agreement implementation status to provide the basis for the conduct of the high-level revitalization forum.
Lamoro says his delegation understands the agenda set for the high-level forum is to talk about restoring a permanent ceasefire, to find ways to fully implement the agreement, and to discuss a revised timeline for the elections at the end of the transition period.
The Tigonu, therefore, is ready to present his views and position on the various issues of the high-level revitalization forum with necessary inbuilt flexibility for the success of this forum. Hence, on behalf of Tigonu and his leadership, I therefore call upon you, my brothers and sisters, to reciprocate the approach and attitude adopted by Tigonu towards the high-level revitalization forum in order for us to return peace to our country and end the sufferings of our people.
The European Union Special Representative for the Horn of Africa, Alexandra Rando, says South Sudanese must move fast to end the fighting in the country. Rando says the deteriorating economic and the humanitarian situation in South Sudan has reached an alarming level. He says the European Union will not continue to fund projects in South Sudan because of the fighting. He says the European Union is looking at option of punishing individuals who are blocking the road to peace.
Truth is the only way forward, and the facts have to be put on the table if people are going to have a proper discussion. Let's not hide behind things. And I think what's needed now is a candid discussion about how we can bring the fighting to an absolute standstill. That's the first clear step, and the right people are gathered to discuss and at least settle something. That's the first thing. Secondly, certainly from my side, the European Union, we're very disturbed by what's happening on the economy. This country has been looted, as simple as that. And the result...
Who is looting the country?
I think there are relatively few in a position to sell and mortgage the assets of the country. The result is there isn't the revenue to be distributed to the people so that people can be offered the incentive for a better life. Third, I'm very worried that because of this, the combination of the economics, the bad economic management, the corruption, and the fighting, it's got everyone sitting outside. Everyone's fled. So we've got to move fast to stop the fighting and create the conditions so that South Sudanese can begin to return. Then we begin to look at what may be the way forward. Then finally, these are difficult times internationally. And we've got to be very careful that people in South Sudan are not tempted to seek foreign patrons from afar to advance their interests. So there needs also to be a kind of truce that the international people who have an interest in becoming engaged in South Sudan keep their hands off. Otherwise, we will have a proxy wars going on, which is very dangerous for the stability of this whole region.
Let's talk about the funding needs of South Sudan. The UN just put up an appeal for billions of dollars to help the situation in South Sudan. And looking globally, there are other crises around the world. Is the international community having some sort of donor fatigue towards South Sudan? They put a lot of money there.
It's not about donor fatigue. It's that there's a limit to the number of amount of funds that are available for multiple crises. Now, South Sudan and the South Sudanese, the neighbors, need to understand that we cannot continue to just pour money while there isn't a clear-cut effort made to help bring peace. It just doesn't, this doesn't add up. That is why we're pleased that there is this meeting. We hope that the neighbors can be more united in finding a solution, and at the same time that the South Sudanese themselves realize that we cannot continue to pour in money while some people in South Sudan seem to be taking the money out. Not our money, their own money. This doesn't make sense. So this is a discussion which will continue, but it's not donor fatigue, it's donor realism. And people also had better understand that.
Yeah, and listening from statements yesterday and today, there is a talk of punitive measures that if this, if the leaders don't sign an agreement, there will be consequences. What is the stand of the European Union on that? What consequences are you talking about?
Well, there are a variety of options we're already looking at and investigating, and they involve possibly certain individuals who may be obstructive. But we're looking also at a broader set. This is a country where we need to ask ourselves, and as I mentioned yesterday, this is not just about individuals. There is a systemic problem where the resources of the country are being diverted into a conflict rather than towards peace. We will therefore look at what is the system that is facilitating and abetting this.
That's Alexander Randos, the European Union Special Representative for the Horn of Africa. He was speaking with John Tanza in Addis Ababa earlier today. IGAD Chairman Ethiopian Prime Minister Hailemariam Desalegn told forum participants IGAD will take action against individuals who block peace in South Sudan. He says leaders and stakeholders should come to the table in search of political solution to renounce violence and demonstrate political will to accommodate one another. South Sudanese Foreign Minister Deng Alor says he hopes the forum will genuinely address issues blocking the implementation of the peace deal.
We hope we'll be able to arrive this time at an agreement that we must implement, because our problem has always been in the implementation of agreements. And I hope with this support, normal support from everybody, will be able to agree and implement the agreement that we will reach.
You just raised an important issue here, saying the problem has been lack of implementation. Why is it so difficult for the leaders of South Sudan to implement what they have signed?
The leaders of South Sudan, they always get entrenched in their positions, and they find it very difficult to see the plight and the suffering of the people of South Sudan, because implementation means, helping the people implement what you have agreed on, which our people find very difficult. The leaders find it difficult because they only focus on their individual interests as leaders, but not the interests of the people. But I hope this time, and with all the speeches that we have heard and the support that we are getting from the region and the international community, we'll be able, to put our personal and individual interests aside and focus on the interests of the people.
And is that really doable in South Sudan? I mean, if the leaders were focusing on the interests of the people, this violence wouldn't have taken 4 years and plus.
After this very difficult experience, I think we'll be able to do it.
But what is it that you're doing this time different from what you've been doing? What is different this time around?
It is the anger of our people. It is the people. Our people are so angry with us, so disappointed with us, and I think it is this and the environment which is happening here, around here. I think think these are all, you know, indications that, you know, should make all of us, you know, be more serious and more responsible enough.
Do you personally feel you have let down the people of South Sudan, you as Dengalor?
I never thought we would find ourselves in this situation, because when we went to the bush, we were very young, we sacrificed our lives, we sacrificed everything for the people of South Sudan. And
the international community is sending a message that they are tired. You must change the situation.
Yes, I agree. And that's why I'm saying we have to implement any agreement that we agree on with these warnings, and I think these warnings are serious. They will be followed with action for those who will not cooperate and those who will not deliver.
That's South Sudan's Foreign Minister Dengalor, also a member of the former SPLM political detainees. He was speaking to John Tanza at AU headquarters in Addis Ababa earlier today. Police in Uganda's Moyo district say they have arrested a South Sudanese man in connection with last month's gruesome murders of two men who were beheaded. Moyo district police commander says two survivors of the attack are struggling for their lives at a Moyo hospital. Simon Peter Piku has more for VOA from Moyo.
Moyo Police Chief Dennis Ochirchan identified the two men who were beheaded on November 24th. One was Taban Julius, a clinical officer who runs a clinic in Jale in a government-controlled part of Kajukeji County near the Ugandan border, and Tandiga Muhammad, a Ugandan national who gave Julius a ride on his motorbike. Chief Ochirchan says the incident sent shockwaves throughout the district, particularly because it happened in broad daylight in Ugandan territory.
So far, one person was arrested in connection to that. We are still also making him to help us know more about the others.
Police say preliminary investigations indicate a gang of about 20 men armed with assault rifles, knives and machetes ambushed Julius and Mohammed, took them into a near bush and beheaded them. Ochirchan says the assailants also captured two passers-by a short time later and were about to mutilate them as well when security forces arrived.
When these guys were beheading these people, so our security people, I think they took off. So they, in that process, two people managed to survive, but two were beheaded.
Pena Jackson is a South Sudanese refugee from the Morobi camp in Moyo who survived an attempted beheading. Jackson says he was returning to the camp from his farm on the Ugandan side of the border when gunmen in South Sudanese military uniforms ordered him to stop. He saw that another man was also being held against his will. Speaking in Arabic, he says the attackers began to rough them up.
They took the two of us and started to hit me with their rifles. They did not fire the weapons. They simply used them to beat us. I was ordered to lie face down and not to look up. We complied. They continued to kick me. After a short while, I was moved away to a different place. They wanted to slaughter me.
South Sudanese Henry Geriger, the other survivor, says the attackers began to decapitate them. Speaking in Arabic, Geriger says they abandoned the attempt after hearing the sound of vehicles coming closer.
They thought we were dead. We decided to remain still just in case they were hiding somewhere. When all was quiet and there was no movement, I asked the other man, "Are you still alive or you are dead?" He said he was alive.
Geriga says motorists and pedestrians came and went, but no one stopped. He says after some time he suggested they do something to draw attention to themselves.
I told him, if we don't scream and call for help, we will die here. No one will know we are here. So I tried to shout. I call out twice.
Lieutenant Peter Thongbor Aluong, chief of immigration at the South Sudanese government-held border town of Jale, was among the first to arrive at the scene. Aluong accused SPLM-IO forces loyal to rebel leader Riek Machar of savagely murdering the two men and trying to murder the others in an effort to sabotage a deal reached a day earlier that allows refugees to safely return home. Aluong discovered the two mutilated bodies.
So as I reached, I got the head of the human being down and I went to the bush. I get the two bodies. And other head also down. So those two were cut off. So I get these two people are lying down crying.
Lieutenant Aluong says SPLM-IO forces vowed to target anyone who provides services in government-controlled parts of Kajokeji. For VOA News, I am Simon Peter Piku in Moyo.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from The Voice of America. Child abductions are on the rise in parts of South Sudan. Find out where when we come back.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you cope with the rising cost of living in your community?
For now, we do improvise. We eat what we have. We don't do excessive buying.
I adjust myself to the things which are really needed, are most important to me. Those are the things that I will use my money to buy.
I'm comfortable. I'm able to buy myself what I need, and I'm still pretty okay. I'm comfortable.
You take them easy, isn't it? If the cost is raised up, so you have to cope with the living things there. That's all. Or you could look for better jobs so that you can manage.
If I could be in the village, I can take an option of going to dig. But since I'm in town, it's not easy to handle it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Jubek state officials say they are worried about a rise in child abductions. A Jubek state minister says 9 children have been abducted so far this month, adding a boy and a girl were abducted a few days ago after their father was shot and wounded. Manyang David Maya reports for VOA from Juba.
Richard Languya and Vico Beatrice's one-month-old baby, Caroline, cries after gunmen abducted her 8-year-old sister, Anjo, and 3-year-old brother, Lamono, Thursday night. Speaking in Arabic, Vico Beatrice says she and her husband were discussing plans to send Anjo and Lamono to school in Uganda next year when 2 gunmen stormed the house.
I heard a sound, and after some time, they kicked the door open, and immediately they started shooting and shot my husband. The children started to cry. They grabbed them and left the house. I ran after them crying, "Why are you taking my children?" I said, "Take me together with my children, or kill me also like my husband."
Her husband, Languya, was not killed, but was shot in the arm. Languya says the pain of the gunshot wound is nothing compared to losing his children.
How am I going to feel in good? Let him kill me or leave my children. Now she kill me, she shoot me 2 bullet, and then she took my old children. I'm not feeling okay.
Languya says he misses his daughter Anjo, who he says used to share food with him.
When I'm not there, that lady, she don't want to eat. Until I'm coming, either at night, 3 or what, at any time of wait, I ate when I came in my home. When she hear my motorbike, then it's coming. Mama, my father come. Then he's going to bring for me water and kneel down and bring for me food. Then we're going to eat together. Now it is 3 days. I'm not eating anything.
The abduction of Langoya's children is the latest in what Jubek state officials say are increasing cases of child abductions across the state. Rose Lisok is the Jubek state minister for gender, child and social welfare.
We have a lot of issues of the children who are being abducted, and we have a recent fresh case which has happened a few days ago in Lopmanok, and also this is happening within Juba town here on the road to Mangala. It's a serious issue within this Lopmanok state county. We have 7 kids who are being abducted within this month.
Lisok says her government is working with neighboring states to curb child abductions by sharing information.
Our governor has a link with the governor of Buma and also with the neighbors of Jungule, and this we have a committee which they meet every time when there is this. And then also we are having a link within the security organ, which also they are following this.
Lisok says with the help of neighboring authorities, state police have recovered 4 children in the past few weeks. The parents of these children could not be found, so police have turned the children over to an orphanage center in Juba. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
Authorities in Juba say they are beefing up security across the capital ahead of the Christmas and New Year celebrations to try to protect residents during the holiday season. South Sudan's interior minister issued a stern warning to would-be criminals and those driving unauthorized vehicles during the holidays. Nabil Biagio has more for VOA from Juba.
Interior Minister Michael Chianjek and South Sudan National Police Service Inspector Lieutenant General Said Shaul told reporters in Juba today they will keep the capital safe during the holidays. Chianjek says they created a circular instructing security forces to be on full alert beginning today, which will continue through January 30th.
This one will help us secure the city. We also want to reiterate that all the tinted vehicles that are roaming around, the numberless also cars, and also temporary plate number is no longer allowed to appear on our streets.
Chen Jack says soldiers and civilians must refrain from shooting guns in the air as a way to celebrate the holidays.
We have a culture of firing the bullets all the time when there are celebrations, Christmas and New Year. This one is not allowed this year, and if anyone found, the security immediately will take a very humiliating measures. You will be beaten, you will be arrested.
Chen Jack also says security forces will take swift measures against nighttime criminals caught trying to rob citizens.
Those who are still shooting people at night or robbing people at night, this time we are going to deal with them properly. So there are certain measures that we have taken and that need not to be disclosed. You will see them. We have done them last year. We are going also to do the same this year.
Speaking in Arabic, Police Inspector General Said Shaul says police will be working very closely with other security agencies to ensure that every corner of the capital is secure.
Police and security forces will be everywhere, and we have a plan to secure all the remote areas and isolated alleys.
Chianjek is urging citizens to promptly report any security incident to the nearest police unit so that measures can be taken against the violators. The minister says he has sent out similar instructions to all the states across South Sudan. Citizens are being encouraged to call the emergency number 777 to report any criminal activity in progress. Chianjek promises that security forces will respond swiftly. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
Here's a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Ayan. Cabinet Affairs Minister Martin Elias Lamoro, who is leading the government's delegation to the High-Level Revitalization Forum talks in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, said his party will engage constructively during the talks, but he also warned that the government is not willing to renegotiate the 2015 peace agreement. Lamoro says it is his understanding that the agenda set for the High-Level Forum is to talk about restoring a permanent ceasefire, to find ways to fully implement the agreement, and to discuss a revised timeline for the elections at the end of the transitional period. The European Union Special Representative for the Horn of Africa, Alexander Randos, says South Sudanese must move fast to end the fighting. He says the deteriorating economic and humanitarian conditions in South Sudan have reached an alarming level, and he says the European Union will not continue to fund projects in South Sudan because of the fighting. IGAD Chairman Ethiopian Prime Minister Hailemariam Desalegn told forum participants that IGAD will take forceful action against individuals who block peace in South Sudan. He says leaders and stakeholders should come to the table in search of a political solution to renounce violence and demonstrate political will to accommodate one another. Police in Uganda's Moyo district arrested a South Sudanese man in connection with last month's gruesome murders of two men who were beheaded. Moyo's district police commander says the two survivors are in critical condition at Moyo Hospital. Moyo Police Chief Dennis Ocherkan identified the two men who were beheaded on November 24th. They are Taban Julius, a clinical officer who ran a clinic in jail in a government-controlled part of Kejukeji County near the Uganda border, and Chandinga Mohammed, a Ugandan national who gave Julius a ride. Chief Ocherkan says the incident sent shockwaves throughout the district, particularly because it happened in broad daylight in Ugandan territory. He says he's seen a lot of homicide cases, but this was the worst he's ever seen. And finally, authorities in Juba say they are improving security across the capital ahead of the Christmas and New Year's celebrations to try and protect residents during the holiday season. South Sudan's interior minister, though, issued a warning to would-be criminals and those driving unauthorized vehicles. Interior Minister Michael Changjek and South Sudan National Police Service Inspector Lieutenant General Saeed Shawul told reporters in Juba today that they will keep the capital safe during the holidays. Changjek says they created a circular that instructs security forces to be on full alert beginning today and continuing through January 30th. He says soldiers and civilians must refrain from shooting guns in the air as a way to celebrate the holidays. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
And that's our show for this Monday. We leave you with the song Get Up by Emmanuel Jell.
Yeah. They say all walk and no play. Boy. But you know what I say? I gotta get up. Suitcase from one place to another place. Hey, I get a chance sometimes though. I make a few dollars sometimes though. I'm thinking I deserve a night in the town, having fun with my friends around. Hey, I gotta get up.
We've been listening to Emmanuel Jell with the song Get Up. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Thanks for listening. We'd like to know what you think about the show. You can reach us on the web at southsudan@voanews.com or check us out on our Facebook site at South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from The Voice of America.